So here we are again. Yep. And we ended up on quite a nice sort of ending to the last one, which makes a change.
It's a first.
Isn't it, to be fair? But no, we've taken a lot of inspiration from what you've, you know, been through and through your journey, as we like to call it. You were saying at one point that there was something that made a massive change, and that was when you went from being paid differently. Do you mind taking us back to that and what happened there?
So basically, I was working for a very, very big multinational company running lots of security for them, and it was weekly. It was a hell of a lot of money for doing not a lot. And then I found myself subcontracting to a company that was subcontracted to them, if that makes sense. They employed a company, then the company employed me. It went from very good weekly pay to very good monthly pay. I had a whole bunch of people working around me. And then
this is just going back, this is in the security.
Yeah. Mostly bodyguarding. By now I've got a little team around me. I'm a team leader. They're a bunch of naughty fuckers, to be honest. We were doing what we did. We enjoyed it and it paid well. So we're working with these guys, and then suddenly it was like, oh, we're not paying you monthly now, it's quarterly. And I'm going, hang on a minute. So you pay me every 3 months.
So did you invoice these people? Were you an invoice?
Yeah. To be honest, I was shit at all that back then. I'm not much better now, but I am better. But so they tell me what they wanted to do. We'd go and do it, day rate, job, whatever. And we'd work it out. And they pay me. Simple. So anyway, the first quarter they paid me, all good. It was fine. Long story short, is then they stopped paying me. But I still had boys to pay. So now I'm living in a village, surrounded by people I'm trying to keep up with and impress. And I've got people that work for me. Also now we're training bodyguards too. So I'm training you guys to come and work for me, because we're going to need that, because we've got these big contracts coming up. I'm handpicking people I know, people that recommended good people, putting them through the badges, because you have to be qualified to do this stuff. And it's not like, so when I first started with security work back on the doors and whatnot, you know, they give it to the horriblest person in the bar. Now you have to go through all sorts of health and safety courses and God knows what to do it. So we're getting these guys badged up, we're increasing the workforce, and then they didn't pay me. So I've gone 3 months now and I've not been paid. I'm going, oh, fuck. So I've rung him up, it was an oversight, we'll do it. Long story short, a million bank letters later, them not paying me again. My wife's gone on a school trip with my son, and I'm in court that morning because we've lost the house. So I've been told, you're moving out on this day. And looking back on it, it was like for less than $5,000. Less than $5,000. They're going, yeah, we're repossessing everything. And I'm going, but I'm owed like 20 times more than this easily. And I'm being told, it's fine, you'll be fine, don't worry. She's gone on a school trip. I haven't told her because I'm thinking this is going to be fine. And why would I tell her? Because that's going to cause more rows, more trouble, this and that. Long story short, she went on a school trip with my son. She came home and the front door's boarded up. I got 20 quid on me, two dogs, three kids and a car. And everything else I was locked in a house, guarded by two coppers, because when they come to repossess the house, I did my usual and took it somewhere where I shouldn't have gone. And that was a big game changer.
This seems to me as well like very, very much the looping thing that we talked about earlier when you said about you've never met a happy celebrity. Because these celebrities, they have this life and they have to live up to it, but it costs a lot of money to live their life.
So it wasn't that. I was chasing the money, so I overstretched. So what happened is I'm earning a really good wage. Then suddenly I've got four people working for me. I'm earning a really good wage and I'm earning money off them. Then suddenly I've got more people, and I'm building the company, really stretching myself to get the payoff. But then they stop paying me. But now I've got all these bills that I can't pay. They owe me. They're going, you know what, fuck you. I'm looking at these people going, shit, I owe a lot of these people are people I'm friends with. Yeah. Oh, fuck. Anyway, long story short, is I went from comfortable, happy, whatever, to 20 quid in my pocket, three kids and two dogs.
So what the hell do you do? What?
Honestly, headbutted the front door in, kicked off a lot, police came, shouted at the police a lot, got told, don't worry, it was fine, and then panicked.
And where did panic get you?
Well, absolutely nowhere. So it was a bit random. So I'm pulled up at school, and the kids are getting in the car, wife's getting in the car. What are we having for tea? And I'm going, something I need to tell you. And my mum had died not long before this as well, so I wasn't particularly great anyway. I'm just like, well, probably should have told you before, but, and that was a proper shit conversation, as you can imagine.
Well, I definitely can't imagine it being easy. So
basically went to get some help, went home, back to where I come from, looked to family for help. They didn't want to know.
How long has it been since then? Because we haven't touched on your family at all. Your original family, so should we say?
So when I moved away, I didn't do a lot with my family. I've got quite a big family. My family didn't like my wife. To me, that was unacceptable because I didn't like their wives. If I put up with them, they didn't return it. There's a few things that went on, and they're just not great. So I stayed in touch with my mum and dad. Was always an uneasy relationship. I think we touched on before, growing up, my mum was everything to me. 3 months before she died, the business really increased. She pissed me off with her craziness, if you like. So gone from speaking to her every single day to not speaking to her at all. And then I got a call to say she was sick, come now. I've had that call probably 100 times and she's always fine. Yeah, I'll come tomorrow. And then she was dead. I got halfway home and got a call to say she was dead. That wasn't great. But it happens.
Yeah, but how are you then? Because you've obviously then got all that with the pressure on your head as well.
It was hard. Like I said, she was batshit crazy, but she was always everything to me. I got a call to say she was sick and dying. Like I said, I had this call probably 6 months before that. She's on her last leg. She needs to come down. She's going to be dead. Drove down. She was sat up laughing, joking, fine. So the night before she died, I got a call. I was on my way to London. Big bodyguarding job. Celebrity crush, actually, which is quite funny. I say crush, it wasn't, but yeah, going down. Somebody I was looking forward to looking after, and got a call to say she was in a bad way. Took it with a pinch of salt, goes home. I'll go tomorrow, I'm not waking the kids up. Gets another call, she's really bad, come now. Fuck, okay. And I hadn't spoken to a single member of my family for about 3 months, just because I didn't have the headspace with everything else going on. You know, what I told you about me hurting myself, it was after that. Drive to Wales, I got a call, she's dead. Fuck, okay, got there. And it was hard.
And then obviously you've had this sort of serious relationship with your brothers and with your dad and everything else
I pitched up and I turned up with the kids, and then one of my brothers was there. We hadn't even got out of the car and his wife started being a dick. So fair play, my dad told to go get fucked and send them on the way, because they all live locally, we don't. Went over there. Went to see the body the next day. That was a bit random. And bumped into one of my school friends I hadn't seen for 20 years at the morgue. What the fuck? Real. And that was pretty rough. The whole time the business is really picking up now. We still do the odd struggle, but it's the way it was. I think if that hadn't happened, I probably would have seen what was coming with the business a bit sooner. It's not an excuse, but it's one of those things. Stayed there for a week. Went back to where I was living and then come back for the funeral. That was the first time most of my brothers had met my kids. Bearing in mind, my eldest was 11 at the time.
So you're going through all of this, like the battle, obviously, of losing your mum. And, I can imagine after talking to you for so long, I think guilt plays a big part in so many things for so many people.
I felt bad because I hadn't spoken to her. But what really hit me was the fact that, you know, I'm one of seven kids. There's a lot of us. And the fact that they all sort of turned up, but nothing had really changed. And the fact that it was the first time they met my kids and that. And I was just sort of sitting around thinking, you know, these people aren't my people at all. All the family straight away. So she died. 12 hours later, they're all arguing about the will. They're all trying to find out which solicitor the will's with. That's what they're like. And that wasn't great. That pissed me off.
But then you've got the Conrad then that doesn't want to meet with these people who he was sat in the pub with only so many months beforehand that made him go to the point where he didn't want to be here anymore. Then he's got his family who are also not his people. It's a constant learn for you, isn't it, as to who you are
it's
and who that, are
yeah,
you
it's
are
trying to find
people.
Out where, it's trying yeah. to find out where you fit, because I realised at an early age I didn't want to be those people. But then I didn't want to be the people
yeah.
that I'd married into either. But you've got two massive opposite ends of the scale. You know, so that was a bit random. And then all the kicking off over the funeral and this and that. And it was just ridiculous. You know, they're all scrapping. And I ended up almost fist fighting with one of my brothers over it. The funeral came. It was bizarre, actually, because the funeral was organised, and then a bunch of people that I didn't know turned up on my dad's house to stay for the funeral, and they were a little bit weird, but I knew who they were because I'd always been told, but I never really met them. Turns out one of them actually might be my dad. I found out at the wake that actually might be my dad.
Wow.
That's in the book. Let's just... But I found out at my mum's funeral that actually things weren't all as it seems, and maybe this geezer's my dad over here, not this one over here.
And this was at the funeral. There was no inkling of this beforehand.
Honestly, beforehand, he turned up at my dad's house. He was weird around my kids. I turned around to my wife at the time and I said, watch him with the kids because he's fucking weird. And it turns out he was weird around the kids because he thinks they're his grandkids. His wife got pissed at the funeral and told me.
How do you process that?
I got really pissed.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I didn't. I had a couple of drinks and went off in a mood because I didn't know what the fuck to think about it. And told him to get the fuck the next day, sent him home.
Do you have any clarity on that now?
No.
Still no.
He wants clarity, I don't. If he wanted to know, he should have spoken to me 40-odd years ago, not when he did. And he knew about my upbringing, and that's when I needed him. Now, as much as my upbringing is what it was, the guy that brought me up. So as far as I'm concerned, this other guy could go fuck himself.
Wow. That's a big thing to have.
But all that happened, and then obviously I ended up being in Wales for 6 weeks. I got back from there, and I think it was 5 weeks after that, I realised quite how much shit I was in because of the business. Because I had somebody else dealing with that when I was in Wales. I got back to a gazillion letters. And then I paid for the funeral, paid for a bunch of other stuff. We were buying a bigger house, much, much bigger house. And then suddenly it's like, do you know what? They're actually going to take my house, which I own most of now. There's jack shit I can do about it. For the same amount of money I'd spend on a weekend away, because these fuckers aren't paying me. And it's not actually going to happen. It's not real. So found about everything going on, spoke to solicitors, God knows what, and they said, look, go into the court. The only hearing I could get was the morning of the eviction. I've walked into the court and the judge has gone, I totally sympathise with you, but if they're not paying you, they're not paying you, you've got no income, I can't help you. I can remember walking out and going, fuck. Walking back to the car, driving home, sitting there and going, they're about to repossess my fucking house, this can't actually be happening. And, they repossessed the house.
So what happened then? Where did you go? What happened next?
So drove back from there to my dad's. Told my dad what had happened. He wasn't particularly good about it. Well, you can stay here for a few days if you want to. My brother turned up with his wife. She had a lot to say about it to my dad behind my back, which I didn't know at the time. He was less than nice to my children. he got physical with one of my children, and then he threw a boiling hot cup of coffee over my wife at the time when I wasn't there. If I was there, it wouldn't have happened.
Wow.
I found out what happened, came back, put him back in the car and drove back to where we lived, and went straight to social services and went, I'm fucked. And they were like, okay, why? Went through everything. They were in disbelief because they've got my bank statements in front of them and she's going, how? And long story short, they put us in a hotel. I was in that hotel for 2 months.
Wow.
That was pretty shit. But you know what? I remember about a week after it happened, because we were 9 miles away from the kids' school. So we had to get them a taxi there every day. But because they were kids, we had to travel with them. We had to walk back to the fucking hotel every day because the car was fucked. And about a week after that, we were kicking and pissing ourselves because suddenly we've got nowhere else to go. Like, we're at the lowest. We're pretty much fucking begging in the street level. And do you know what? I've never felt so free in my life. There was a few days, and I just thought, do you know what? I can't get any lower. I've got no pressures at work. Everyone knows what's happening, because when they do this, they put a big-ass sign on your fucking window saying your house has been repossessed.
Wow.
So all of our friends in their 6-7-bedroom houses suddenly don't want to know us now because we're on our ass. All of the scummies from the village are trying to look out for us. That was a bit weird. Yeah. But we've got to fuck all. Long story short is we were fucked for about 4 months. Hotels. We got a council house. I just flatly refused. It was a shithole. All went to court, and within a year, we were in a nice little small holding. Bought a new BM. Work's going well.
And how was it? You can't just skip to that. I'm really sorry.
Basically, we're living in a hotel. I've got nothing to fucking lose.
Yeah. So now I'm on the phone.
Well, I'm now on the phone speaking to people, going, right, you know, I'm available for work. I'll work for whatever. I'm absolutely fucking savage now because my kids can't eat, so I'll work for you and I'll do whatever you want me to do for that money. So I've turned into an absolute fucking savage. The whole time, these people are owing me money. There was the legal route, yeah. And then there was the quicker, slightly less legal route.
But I can imagine in your head, you'd gone to court, you'd explained everything.
They did fuck all.
And they did nothing for you.
No, so what they said to me is they'll drag this out for years. So I was like, I haven't got years. So I made a couple of phone calls to a few people. One of them was a very high-up solicitor from London that deals in litigation. I explained it to him. He guided me, if you like. And I picked up the boys, and I went and got my money back. And I got all of it back, every penny.
Did you?
Yep.
So that's where the progression went from?
So, like I said, we went from there to moving in somewhere decent. And suddenly we were holidaying again. Kids got best of everything. Bought my wife a new car, nice little people carrier. Went and picked up myself an M Sport Series 5 BMW. Suddenly all of our not friends wanted to be friends again. And the response was, you know what, go fuck yourself. I hold a grudge, my wife at the time didn't, but in that probably 9 months from nothing to getting back on our feet was a proper eye-opener, a real eye-opener, because some people I thought were really good friends, absolute shitbags.
We're not at all.
Some people I didn't have any time for. There's one woman, she worked with a Chinese, and I used to go, every Tuesday night we used to get Chinese after work, and she came out to me, she went, why haven't you been in? And she went, I've heard the rumours, and she handed me a bag, and it was a bag full of shopping for the kids. I went, what are you doing? Now, I know how broke this woman is, and that for her, that would have been a big thing. She's done that. Yeah, I'm walking, literally. So from the hotel, from where we were staying, through a town, and then into the village we lived. And there's one long straight road. So I said, drop the kids off at school. I used to walk back every day. The amount of people that were friends of mine that drive past me on that road because they didn't want to pick me up and drive me back to the hotel. When I knew they were working near there, they left me. Again, hay-fueled it, but I got to know who I could trust and who I didn't. But like I said, that day in that hotel, I looked at my wife. I was like, we're broke. And she's like, yeah, I know. It's like, fuck, what do we do now? And she went, live.
That's a powerful moment to have between a man and wife.
it's a very freeing experience. Don't get me wrong, it was fucking shit a lot of the time, but the fact that you there's nowhere else to go. We've lost, we've got nothing. We can't eat. We can't do anything. No money, no food. Everybody knows. The worst thing for me was everyone knowing. Everybody knows that we're skint. Of course, it was all, oh yeah, well, we knew it was this and that and blah, blah. I didn't do credit and anything. I've never, even now, I've never owned a credit card. But the fact that people knew proper broke me. And then I just stopped giving a fuck. And like I said, you know, a bit of time later, we're doing all right.
You had you two then. You had you two and you had that strength. That is something that is quite powerful in a way.
It was a bit random because it was just thinking like, you know, but what really got me is the people that I didn't even consider friends, that I didn't know that well, that came forward, yet people I thought were friends proper fucked us up. And the rumours in Sherton.
And the woman in the Chinese.
She was mad as shit, but she was great.